Welcome back to the Radio Academy podcast. I'm your host, Georgie Jameson, and this week we're talking about visualization with Susie Grant, head of Visualize Pods and an executive producer at Listen. Listen make The Traitors Uncloaked and Olivia Atwood's So Right It's Wrong, amongst lots of other podcasts. Visualize podcasts are a relatively new genre, but are changing the podcast market. So I started by asking Susie to tell me a bit about her new role and how long she's been in it.
Yeah, so I think it's 4 months or so now. It's kind of a continuation. So obviously already been an exec across our slate of, you know, visualized productions. So, you know, it really is an indicator of kind of the direction of travel that we're going in. It's obviously been a really exciting like year, 18 months for Listen. Yeah, it's fairly new, although it is kind of, you know, the role kind of developed at its own pace. And, you know, it's lovely to sort of be able to speak about it a bit more, in a more defined way, because obviously I exec all of these shows as well. So it's like, I'm overseeing editorially the direction of lots of other productions as well that other execs now sit across.
What is a visualized podcast?
So a visualized podcast, I mean, at its heart, it's exactly what it sounds like. We're putting some cameras on, I would say, excellently produced podcast formats that, you know, we're welcoming in the audience. We're kind of meeting them where they are as well. You know, we know in terms of promotion, clips, you know, are the, you know, massive gateway clips on TikTok, things appearing on Instagram. These are, you know, so a lot of people will know a lot about podcasts, but yet they may not have actually listened to a whole episode. So, you know, visualized podcasts are, you know, and it's something that we certainly push towards, particularly on our really big productions, is, you know, as a minimum, we are actually filming it all, but obviously with the intention of putting really high quality video clips, entice you to come over and kind of consume this content. Because podcasting, as we know, like at its core, is all about, it's the intimacy. We're all here, we're all friends, we're all part of this community, we're all really engaged in it. So you find on, you know, shows like Traitors Uncloaked, which obviously has its own life on BBC Sounds, but also is on BBC Two. Well, our aim for that was to be like the ultimate group chat, ultimate fan area. So what we took was all of our, you know, the amazing production and sort of light formatting that, you know, everyone that makes podcasts knows that you may not actually, but like, oh, they just seem to be chatting, but they're not. This is guided conversation at its best. It's all actually structured in such a way that you don't notice the format always flowing through. But we're putting some great cameras on it. We've got some brilliant set brought in. I don't know if that's answered the question.
No, but it absolutely has. But I think that the follow-on question from that is, for me, is how does that then differ from making a television show?
So we're not trying to be a TV show. So for example, when we script Uncloaked, we're obviously aware that there's going to be, you know, some cameras in the room, and we've got like a tracking shot. We know all that stuff's happening, but actually we're just razor focused on the content. You know, we're only looking at what we would also be looking at if we were making this for audio only, because of course we are making it for audio only as well. It's actually like, what's the strongest podcast content? What are the conversation points that we know the audience are going to want? What do we think we're going to add additional value? For example, you can't do a companion show and then not offer the audience something that they can't already get from the show. Or that's sort of the core difference that sets it apart from being a TV show. Because obviously people that make TV shows, they also want the best content. You know, for example, if you were to compare Uncloaked with, you know, other companion shows like Extra Slice or You're Fired, they're filmed in big glossy studios. They have their studio audience there. You can tell from like the delivery of the presenters and how things move from item to item. It's what you'd expect. It's kind of like following the grammar of a TV show, whereas you watch something like Uncloaked and it's like, oh, I am actually watching a podcast, but it just so happens we've got a couple of camera shots. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And even when you look at our live final, again, a much bigger stage, but yeah, it wasn't the same.
A lot of people now are choosing to watch visualized podcasts actually on a TV, a traditional TV, not just on their tablet or their mobile. Does that alter your production values when you're thinking about making the visualized aspect of the podcast?
I mean, yeah, you know, when we're filming things, you know, depending on the level of production in terms of obviously budget and where things are going to end up, that will impact how we choose to shoot it. So on a really high-end production, obviously we're shooting 4K. Every little detail of everything going on is picked up and you can punch in, and that can amend how you choose to cut that. It does give you more options in the edit when you shoot that way. But, you know, all of us, I don't think it's a new thing to... People at home can be recording podcasts, and lots of excellent content is filmed on phones and things like that. So I feel like I think higher quality, like visuals, in terms of just like the technical detail of it, that I think, you know, you have to keep pace with everything else. You know, if you're putting something on TV, and particularly when it's sitting in a linear schedule, the audience have expectations of what that's going to look like. So the podcast will always need to match that expectation.
So when you are making these shows, mm-hmm. and they are essentially a podcast, as you said, you're thinking audio first. How do you make sure that it makes sense as just audio for people who only access it that way, who don't watch the visualized part of it and just go down the traditional listening on their headphones route? Because if something happens that's visual, somebody, I don't know, drops something or pulls a face, and an audience, like in Uncloaked, react to that, that's not going to make any sense if you're just listening to it. Have you always got an idea about what you think you need to think about in to make sure that the audio part always stands prominent?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm sure lots of people will already do this just naturally when they're sort of crafting their audio, particularly if you're making like comedies or dramas. But things like saying people's name, you know, who you're actually speaking to, who you're referring to, so that programs for TV can have more voices in them because we can see them and it's easier for you to differentiate who's who. Obviously, like sometimes we are filling like sofas with a lot of voices that actually can sometimes be confusing. So it's making sure there's real clarity there. So that's, you know, really on your host, your producers in the room, to make sure that everybody's recording in such a way that allows you to identify people. Mm. But similarly, it's like describing what's going on. And, you know, I for many years was a comedy producer, and some, you know, comedy is very visual in places, you know, and sometimes that can be a challenge to sort of take these like amazing live shows that, you know, in Edinburgh that people have loved, and then somehow make that a Radio 4 programme, for example. So actually, like, getting everyone trained into like, right, yeah, something incredible just happened behind me. For those of you who can't see what's going on, Susie has just done this and that, and, you know, sort of really including that audio only audience on that journey with you. So, you know, those are two things that are just like quite easy wins, but if you don't do that, you really notice it. So, you know, quite often you'll get notes back, you know, I'll send notes back to be like, I literally don't know what's happening here. There's like a constant trial and error process, but, you know, we're so lucky here at Listen, you know, we have like a really amazing team of producers, and we're learning in plain sight here too, you know, like as things evolve, we're constantly like changing, tweaking things so that, you know, from episode to episode, everything gets better, and loads of people will be able to sort of think of times where like where you start on ep 1 as to where you are at ep 10, 20, whatever, it's completely different, and like the evolution is the same.
This is a relatively new genre of podcasting, but it's really taken off. Why do you think it's really taken off, and how do you feel it's changing the podcasting landscape?
If you just think about, you know, people's consumption of streaming services, how we're watching TV, how, you know, all of us have a very like on-demand lifestyle now, and, you know, I think visualized podcasting has just evolved into the and moved into this space that was actually like really open, and like people are wanting to consume our podcast content. More people want to be able to find it. Things like Uncloaked, so but actually we're pushing into a really mainstream audience and taking it onto TV, and they're really like loving it and enjoying it. In terms of the stats, off the top of my head, but I'm sure we're sort of hitting like 4 million consolidated views on our final episode, which in terms of like other companion shows that you would kind of consider doing that same kind of job, it was quite comfortably every episode beating their numbers, frankly. And it's and obviously that's because of Traitors is amazing.
Yeah, it was a phenomenon, wasn't it? You know, and if you weren't watching it, you couldn't have conversations with people because they were everyone was watching it.
Yeah. We're so obsessed with it as well. Like as a team, pinch yourself moments, like, I can't, you know, this is just like the best stuff to be working on. Great. I mean, obviously it does mean we know stuff ahead of time, so we sometimes don't get to enjoy the twists and turns in the same way.
So who did you think the traitors were?
So I would still have gone for Andrew, but he may not have been my first choice, having been murdered. Mm-hmm. Jasmine, because of this very awkward hug, and then looking back at her throwing names in, and the fact that Meg went after Meg voted her. Mm. She's gone under my radar, though, because I like her.
Yeah.
And, you know, so who do you think are traitors?
So I will say that I was a traitor.
How do you think visualized podcasting is changing the podcasting landscape?
I mean, so another show that I look after is So Wrong It's Right, which is Olivia Atwood's podcast. Just won a bronze at the BPAs, and we got some really interesting insight around how the audience were voting for that as well. And people don't have an expectation, like the audience have an expectation that they'll be able to consume their, you know, for example, someone like Liv, her audience absolutely love her. And she, you know, she brings something so fresh, so different, like even her interviewing style, she's amazing. And she's able to have these really, actually quite delicate conversations, but in a very sort of robust Liv way. She's just incredible. And it's amazing to watch it in studio. But in terms of the way the audience are consuming it, when when we look at the stats for listeners, and we're looking at YouTube, it's fascinating to see like how it's going up and down. And it's because we're really like using our social strategy. We have an incredible team. We are focusing our efforts in inviting in the community, inviting in that audience. And I think in terms of how that's changing the podcasting landscape, I mean, it could many, you know, let's say 5 years ago, although we have a very like noisy like market, and you know there's loads of podcasts, and it's like, gosh, how do you stand out? The way you stand out is by having like an excellent social strategy and for really pushing your best content to the front so that people can come and find you. And I think visualized podcasting is only really furthering that, because if you don't have really high quality social assets, you're probably not going to get found unless your talent is absolutely massive. And you know, it might have been that before, if you had a pretty good following on Twitter, you might find you're going up the charts and stuff like that. Whereas now you have to work harder, and it's because it's a much busier marketplace of different pods. Visualized podcasting is actually acting more as a tool to let people find you and like, look at all this amazing stuff we're making. Please come and we want you to listen to it. We want you to enjoy it. You know, we are always looking at what people are talking about.
But another one that's quite new is the Pop Top 10. Another BBC Sounds one, which is Rylan and Scott Mills. They're both huge. They've both got massive social media following. How important is that, that the talent that you use has got that kind of pull, that reach for them to push this product for you because they're involved?
Rylan and Scott are incredible, and they are obviously like so well known, and like they're an absolute joy to work with, but also, you know, we're so proud of that format. And David Monero produces it with Zoe Edwards, who's the exec across the show. And yeah, you know, I think it's kind of depends show that you're making, right? Because I wouldn't ever say, oh, you have to have X many followers or amplification, because actually depending on what you're trying to achieve, because I'd love to amplify like new voices coming through, but often, you know, particularly for you know, newer talent into like hosting, presenting, they are on TikTok, you know, they do tend to be like creating their own content in advance, so they do come with a certain following. You may have an incredible documentary series and you've got like an amazing journalist who doesn't have a huge following, but actually they're about to take us on an incredible journey. Like, you know, I think it really does depend on what you're trying to make. But in terms of like entertainment content, so certainly with Pop 10, obviously there's a full force of the BBC behind that as well. And I think getting things found and seen is, it's like the other side of making all content, all podcasts, that if you don't get that right, people just can't find you. Being able to say like, Scott and Rylan, can you like post this this clip, BBC, can you put this on the front page of Sounds? Can we get featured in a credit squeeze from a TV show that has crossover with that audience? It all really adds to allowing people to just know that you're there.
Well, that brings me nicely to this. I noticed that one of your newer podcasts is the Tom Kerridge pub quiz. And yeah. So we're talking about you working with BBC Sounds and with Olivia Attwood, with Rayo and several big audio brands. But this time you're working with M&S and you're working with a high street brand. Now, I found that podcast and I thought you might like to know how I found that podcast. I follow Tom on Instagram because I'm a bit of a foodie. Are you thinking that way when you're thinking about trying to find new audiences and new ways of reaching different people who maybe don't know a great deal about podcasts, but in this case, love their food?
So Proper Toasty Pub Quiz, yeah, that's the M&S pod, which is Chris Stark and Tom Kerridge. So yeah, in terms of promotion, obviously, you know, it's amazing to be partnering with M&S because they're a really brilliant team. They're also, you know, it happens to be lovely that we're surrounded by M&S food constantly.
Yes.
We've just recorded a Halloween episode We got all of the treats and we all enjoyed them very much.
You know, that's my ideal job, don't you? Making a podcast but being surrounded by food and M&S food.
You should come sometime, honestly.
Oh,
like,
please, I'd love to.
We're prepping, like, we're moving into Christmas and stuff now, so we're like, you know, I'm assuming we're going to cook a turkey at some point, I don't know, but, you know, obviously not during a recording, but, you know,
this podcast will be 4 hours long because it takes ages to cook.
Why aren't the potatoes cooked? Like, why? It's too much in the oven.
It's always the problem.
Pixie, I'm going to hand you this card. It has a 90s song on it to which you have to gargle to me and Chris. We have to guess the artist.
Here we go. Wait,
wait. I reckon I've got it.
Oh, you're joking.
No. Oh, no. Oh, yeah, got it now.
The whole podcast itself, you know, it's a pub quiz. So we have a guest on and we're asking questions that people share their anecdotes and it's funny and it gives you facts and stuff. And it's cool. We are talking about food and, you know, Tom obviously has so much amazing knowledge of how to do stuff. So, you know, when we're thinking about, right, yeah, how do we get new audiences? Obviously, you know, there is a component of that, which is the M&S audience, the M&S food audience. And they've obviously got like huge data and, you know, interesting, you know, means in which we can learn about the audience. But ultimately we're trying to make and we are making just a really good entertainment food podcast, and I think that's the space we're trying to be in. And, you know, so far so good, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's brilliant that you found it, you know, and we've got like incredible teams. So Evie, who I know you've been speaking to, she's, you know, she's so across all the marketing and she's always talking to all the platforms about how we can be featured on M&S. Obviously we're partnering, like, you know, most people do in terms of the PR agency. So, you know, getting those Tom appearing on Lorraine and different articles and all that kind of stuff, because that really helps. And again, it's just like showing your shop window, like, please, this is this amazing thing, come and listen to it or watch some clips, however you choose to consume.
In terms of your marketing strategy, you've got to really think outside your normal podcast audience, haven't you, when you're dealing with something like that.
In terms of like how we plan the content and, you know, the production side of it, we're genuinely thinking of, right, you know, when we're in the recordings, but also when we're in the edit, like, what do we think is going to be the most entertaining or interesting thing for the audience? And I consider the M&S pod to be, you know, mainstream. Want it to be mainstream. It should. And that's why it's so lovely to have like a different guest each time, because one, it like adds a different spice to every episode, because every episode will always feel different. But in terms of like how we market it, I suppose, like, we do have a slightly different system for Liv Atwood. You know, we you know, we'll put a press release out for each episode. And for Proper Tasty, we you know, we pull out lines, we'll like send that to different like journalists or to, you know, different publications, also, you know, getting the talent to post it. So I think doing like collaborative posts with people so it appears on their Insta grid and all that good stuff. Like, again, like I feel like I say this all the time, but it's just literally like, we want you to find it. So we need to make it as easy as possible for people to do that.
A big thank you to Susie Grant from Listen for being my guest this week. You can find Listen on Instagram, X and LinkedIn. Please like and subscribe to the Radio Academy podcast wherever you get your pods and leave us a review. It's really appreciated. If you're listening to this on the day of release, 23rd of October, then we have a webinar at 1 p.m. today for anyone interested in applying for our RAMP scheme for 2025. Just head to our website, radioacademy.org, for more details and for the link. I'm hosting, so I'll see you there. And if you miss it, then a condensed version of what happened will be next week's podcast, so you can always find out more then. I'll see you next week.